enjoy it and enter into that place. Amen. It is not just for us that win, but it's for all of us who receive the breath of the Lord. So open and close your eyes, open your heart, get ready to receive the breath of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. You're breathing on hearts this morning. Father, we're free from what man thinks. We're free from what we look like, Lord God. We're free, Father God. The foolishness of the world confounds the wise, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're in the midst. You're in the midst to do battle. And we thank you, Lord God, that there is a sure word that you have given to your people this morning. And as we each release our individual testimony, Father, we pray that that would touch hearts and release captives, set places free in hearts that have been bound for years. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm here and I've got the keys to unlock the gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going to share something with you that y'all probably aren't going to like very well, because I had a lot of grumbling in my heart and didn't know I had grumbling, because I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't want to go to church anymore. I had so many outside responsibilities, but I didn't even realize I didn't want to be here anymore, except from the attitude of my own heart. And I'm just being really open with y'all, because I would walk in the doors and I would feel sick. And I'm sharing this with you because there's somebody else in here that feels the same way, that you're just stuck in that way. Man, I've been to church for 20 years. I'm the same way. I just need a change. And you know what? It was me. It was my heart. And I knew it was my heart the whole time. Lord, I know this is me, but I don't know what's wrong with me. But I had lived my whole life looking at what was wrong with me instead of looking at him. And worrying, okay, well, if I don't go to church, then I'm going to be judged, or someone's going to feel this, whatever it might have been. I'm just being real with y'all, okay? And I am going to be 50 years old this year, and I have told the Lord for a year, I am not going to live the next 50 years of my life the way I lived the first 50. Amen. And I mean that. I'm not having an emotional moment, guys. I mean it with everything within me. The devil has stolen so much from me because I let him. He didn't come get it. I gave it to him by the attitude of my heart. By what? Because I was focused on everything wrong with my kids, everything I did wrong raising my kids, everything wrong within me, everything that should have been different. And I have been for months walking in these doors going, oh God, my stomach is sick. What is wrong with me? So what wants to happen then? You want to look at what's wrong with everybody else. I'm telling you, man, it's a trap from the pit of hell. And I knew it when it was happening, and my mind was struggling. I was doing the right thing. I was praying. I was taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I was doing spiritual warfare. I was interceding. I was doing everything I knew to do in my walk with the Lord. There was a root in me, and it was within me. The Lord spoke one word to me. The Lord invites us. We ain't got to wait to be invited by man. The Lord invites us. But when we get our eyes off of him and we look at everything around us, I'm telling you, if there's one of you in here that, I tell you, one moment, I have seen and I have learned this. I've learned one thing in 50 years. You look at man one time and you're going to pollute your mind. That might sound crazy, but we do have the mind of Christ if we desire that. His ways can be our ways. His thoughts can be our thoughts. We don't have to struggle and fight of what we're not. But that is something that the Lord has been working in me. So I just want to repent to y'all for having a bad attitude. And I didn't even know I had a bad attitude. Didn't even realize it. I didn't realize it, but I felt it, that there was something wrong. But it was me. And is my heart. And I just want to encourage you guys, if anybody begins to wake up on, I ain't going to church, I don't feel this way, I don't feel that, well, I hate the way this is, well, I don't like that, well, that ain't the way they do it over here. I'm using that for example. So, because how many of our minds go that way? Oh, man, I'm tired, I got this. And it's so childish. You guys, that's childish. God wants us to grow up. How much? If there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord, why wouldn't we want to be there?
Amen. Amen.
In all honesty, why? Why wouldn't I want to come and fellowship and worship with my brothers and sisters? It's a devil from the pit of hell, and he is trying to bring division. Because as we learned yesterday on the way home, his name is Diablo in Spanish. Die means to bring division. Double talker. He's a double-tongued serpent. And don't you guys forget it. He's a double-tongued snake. Double-tongued. And he's going to come to you, tell you something about something. And that's what he's going to do. And you know what he's going to do? His first thing is to bring division right here. If he can bring division in your mind, in your marriage, in your kids, in your church, with your pastors, with your friends, with your neighbor, with the clerk at the store, I'm telling you what, he'll do it. It might sound like, oh, that ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. Yes, it is. It is a huge deal. Huge. So maybe it's not really a testimony. I don't know. But I'm just telling y'all, man, God wants us free. You know what? Because if I have a negative thought about my husband, he is a devil.
That's right. Amen.
He is a gift from God.
Amen.
You might not like every gift you get. I have to finish my sentence. No, but for years we squabble. I mean, I could go on, and I don't want to. I know that. There's so many things to be shared. But if one thought comes negative in my mind, I know you have to recognize where it comes from. I'm telling you, because there are Christians that have been born again for years. I'm telling you, we're becoming deceived because the enemy is increasing. He's on the increase. And you know what? We're so busy, caught up in our everyday life, that we're not doing what God has for us.
Dead Christians, dead.
Can I share a word the Lord gave me? Are you sure? Okay, I'm gonna share a word the Lord gave me. I was so caught up in my stuff, and I didn't bring it, but I remember it. But the Lord said, I am the Lamb of God, but I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he spoke this to my heart. Everybody knows my kids. And he said to me, he said, my roar is louder than the voice of the enemy that speaks to your children.
Amen.
And he said this, and I'm going to tell you, this is for every one of us. See, the enemy takes us, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, we got to do this. We need to be about the Father's business, be about the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God. Loving our Father, we ain't got to do nothing. Love God and we'll do the rest. It'll all work out. Love him, love him. He said, but your children's enemies, they hear my roar. He said, your enemies hear my roar. He gave me this before this conference. He gave this to me. We went to the leadership luncheon. I wrote it down. He said, your enemies, your husband's enemies, your family's enemies, they hear my roar. And your enemies, they will bow their knee to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's our warrior. And he's more than enough. And so I just want to encourage y'all on that. I was really transparent to share that with you guys. I did share it with Renee. But I just want to encourage you, because I don't want the devil to come in here. I want the enemy to come in here and have one opportunity to steal one of us away. You know what? If God calls us out, that's different. If God calls us out, we're going to be sent out and blessed. So, but if we're coming in here and we got a grumbling heart, do you want to go home when your spouse is grumbling?
Nope.
Do you want to go home when your spouse is grumpy or your kids or, do you want to go home? I don't want to be around my kids. Why would the Lord want to come in here and listen to our hearts? Sit and grumble against one another. Grumble against God, grumble. That is so ungrateful. And you know what? We open up the door for the enemy. God can't do nothing about it because we've opened up the door until we come before him and repent. And it takes the heart of repentance to turn and say, whoa, where did I allow that? We allow the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Let's stop. Let's stop. Let's just stop. Okay? Father God, I don't have to start with me. Father, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that, Father, our hearts, Father, we repent. I repent. I repent, Father God, for an ungrateful attitude, for becoming familiar with my brother and my sister, for becoming familiar with you in a way that I had allowed myself to walk in, Father, and not risen above my circumstances. And I repent, Father. And I pray for each one of our hearts that, Lord, that each one of us would allow you to come in and reveal to our hearts, to shine your light on those dark places, to pull up those rocks, to pull up every dark hidden crevice, Lord, to shine that light. For we need hearts of repentance that are tender and pliable and humble, broken and contrite before you, Father. So, Father, I just pray for hearts that will turn to you and allow your love to come and to break our hearts for you. That, Father, we will recognize you. That we will recognize also, Lord, how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, Father God, that our heart of passion for you will truly result in a heart of compassion for one another. That we will fight for one another. We will stand in truth for one another. We will raise the sword of the Spirit for one another. That, Father, that our hearts, that we would love you with everything within us, Father. Jesus, I love you. I just thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunity always because you want us free. You want us free. You want us to grow. Father, I pray for each and every one that is stuck, that by the power of your Holy Spirit right now, that our hearts would become unstuck, that you would begin to pull up those roots of bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, grumbling, complaining. Pull up complacency. You have no place in us, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for every heart, that there's not one person going to leave here today changed. They're not going to go back out of here and go, oh, that was cool. That was cool. That was fun. No, Lord. No, Father God. Have your way in each and every heart. And if our hearts can't say, God, have your way, well, Father, we ask you to cause us to be willing to allow you to have your way. Make those changes in our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us where we're truly at. I thank you, Lord, that we are no longer stuck in a place of familiarity. Complacency, I'm telling you, y'all, beware complacency. Beware of it. Be aware of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I pray for the river of living waters to flow forth from this place. I pray, Father God, that you will just spring up, oh well. Spring up within each and every one of us, Lord. Remove it as that stream, Lord, breaks through the rocks and stuff. Man, it moves those rocks out of the way. So I just thank you for the rivers of living waters and your light, Father God, dispelling all darkness within us, man, because you want us free. Free to love you. Man, we can't love God if we're stuck. We can't love God if I'm angry. I can't love God if I don't love my husband. That's right. We can't love. So I'm quite anyway. I could go on. I love you guys. God bless your hearts. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Okay, a woman who's been to the conference, come forward and give a testimony. Anyone who was at the conference. Okay. All right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you guys can't tell, we were energized, and we were blessed. And you know, there are so many things that was said that just really ministered to my heart. But one of the things that I thought was really profound, yet simple, just like most things with God, it was simple, just a couple sentences, but it's so true. And Sister Ann said that for all these years, for all these many years, that the body of Christ has been doing something that God never told us to do. And we've made a real mess of it. We're not doing very good. And what she pointed out was that Jesus is the builder of the church. He didn't tell us to build the church. He's the builder of the church. And we're not doing very good at what he did tell us to do, which was to love him with our whole heart and to love one another. We are to be building up one another. That's our building part, to build up one another. And I just want you guys to know, I know I haven't been here all that long, but I think this all the time. I pray over you all the time. I genuinely love you, every one of you. And I care every problem that I know you have. I feel it, and I'm stirred in my spirit, and I want to see you experience the victory that is yours. It's yours. You know, I think no one knows ourselves. No one knows our heart. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. But what we even do think we know about ourselves, you know, we don't want anybody else to know too much of it, you know, and we know how much work is needed. We know how much needs to be done, and so it just seems overwhelming because we're trying to do it. We're trying to fix ourselves, you know, and God didn't ask you to fix yourself. He doesn't want you to fix yourself. Doesn't want you to build. Just look at all the burdens you can take off today. You don't have to build a church. You don't have to fix yourself. He wants you to come and be in that intimate relationship with him and just sit at his feet and allow him to do the work in you. And you will be not only changed, but forever changed. You know why you always have to do it over? You think, oh, I'm making progress. I'm doing a little better here. And then you, right smack on your face, you catch yourself saying the same things, doing the same things again, and you feel so defeated, and you start over. Well, that's because you're doing it. And it doesn't work. It's a spiritual thing. And only God can do it. Only God can make that change in your heart. And only God can renew your mind. But he does tell us how to make ourselves available for him to do it. And we need to do that. We need to be faithful to do the things he's asked us to do. And just be very well. When you go to do something, it's a good habit to get into, to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Am I doing it because I want to? Is it for self? Or is it for somebody else, or I feel obligated, or it's a duty? Or is this something Christ would have me do today? Is this something when I asked him today how to make good use of my time and invited him into my life today that he put on my heart to do? Is this something his word says we're to be diligent to do? And if it's not from him, you know, you need to really pray about it. You know, we need to use our time wisely, make good use of our time because the time is short and there is a lot to do. But he's going to do it. He's going to, anything he does ask us to do, don't even worry about that. Because if he calls you to do it, he's going to equip you and enable you to do it. And, you know, what was so wonderful about this convention, too, you know, we've carried back some of the freedom that we flowed in this weekend. But that, you know, those times of refreshing, they're so important. They're so important. And we do need to break out of the ruts and invite the Holy Spirit in here every Sunday to do exactly what he wants to do and just move in the flow of what he has for us and just get ourselves out of the way. Don't be self-conscious about, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't, you know, oh my, you know, I got a rip in my hose, I don't want to get up. So, I mean, whatever little lies keeping you seeming into your seat, instead of, don't we come to church to give God glory? To worship him and to show him and anyone that might walk through those doors how wonderful and glorious he is and how much we love him and what a better life it is when you're in him. So, you know, if I came through those doors and I had never been here before, I think you were a happy bunch of people. And I would want to be a part of that, you know. You go somewhere and everybody looks like they're at a funeral, you know, you don't care about going back anymore. So anyway, so many things happen that and there's things that happen for me personally as well that has just, I can't even put into words that I'm still processing the things that God did for me personally. But I will give you one little taste of what he did for me. I had my personal prophecy set over me. They had time set aside for anyone that wanted a personal prophecy, and it was just you and in my case, it was two other women from St. Louis. And you know, if you've been, there's things in my life I've been standing on and for and believing in faith and accepting as mine and accepting as my son's for a long time. And these people didn't know me at all or anything about me. And God spoke through them things. It just, you know, my faith foundation has always been sure. But I mean, the undergirding of hearing his voice to me saying that he sees, saying that heaven hears, you know, and saying, telling me nothing is impossible with him. Some future time I might share more testimony on that. But then when I went back, that was before service, and And worship started right after that. And I had my hand up, praising, just my eyes closed, praising. And I felt my hand close like this. It was just like someone had it tight. I felt someone take my hand and just really squeezing it, like, I got you. I got you. I'm not going to let you go. I got you. I got you. I'm with you. I got you. And, you know, all through worship, it was like that. I tried to open it. I couldn't. And then they did that thing up front where they made the kind of like the little arbor of the leaders, and we walked through, and they were touching you. I mean, I couldn't put, you know, he had me. I just, you know, he still had me. I went back to my seat, and I remember everybody'd sit down, and it was getting time for someone to teach. And I thought, well, how am I going to take notes, Lord? Because I couldn't open my hand. He still had me. And it was just such a, like a external confirmation of what he'd shown me, what he'd said to me. He was showing me, you know, I actually got to experience my angel him, but heaven had me. And that, you know, ever since then, I've just felt so, it's, you know, I'm just in a mellow, wonderful place. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mary. Amen. Okay, next. This is volunteer. And then I start picking. And then I start calling names.
You guys remember last year when I came back and I had an issue with the whole flag thing, right? Because it's such a distraction. And it was, to me it was a distraction. I guess not to everybody else. Anyways, this year we went, and it was not such a distraction for me. And I kept kind of getting prodded and poked. I felt like some cattle, like, get up there and wave the flag. Get up there and wave the flag. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't think this is a good idea. Anyways, but this morning even I walked in, and I thought, I betcha somebody, at least one, if it's not Pam, I don't know who else it would be, is going to say something about the flag. So I thought, just go ahead and do it. So I'm standing in the back, and the Lord is kind of convicting my heart about, would you just get up there and do it? And so so here's my thought. This has just hit me. The flag, to me, is a tool. And if it's a distraction to anybody else, well, get over it. If it's a distraction to me, well, get over it. Because what do we do with tools? What do we do with tools? Tools are to use, right? So we use our tools to help us get a job done. So the job this morning was to get a little closer to the Lord, right? The further I walk. So another tool that I use a lot, so if you see me wear this sweatshirt anymore, this helps me hide sometimes. Anybody else have a hoodie? I'm not kidding. It is something that I use as a tool to hide behind sometimes. And sometimes when I don't have a hoodie on or an undershirt, which I don't have an undershirt on today, I feel naked. So if you can just imagine thick girls up here waving a flag feeling naked. So I apologize. But you know what? It's not about me. It's not about any of us individual people. It is about God. And if we let it be about God, then he is going to bless us so much. Okay, got it, Lord. We got the flag, and we got the hoodie, and we got the tools. What else? And I have to say, there was a lady, Marge, at the conference who was talking, and Madge, sorry. Anyways, and she's, you know, my size, and at the end of the conference, she said a comment about, it doesn't matter if a thick girl's up in the front shaking it or whatever, and I thought, whoa, I thought I was the only one that thought about stuff like that. Because she said, I don't care what you guys think. You know, I don't care what anybody thinks of how I look. And I thought, well, she's got some guts. Because I'm standing in the back like, I don't think I can go up there and shake it. But it doesn't matter. It so doesn't matter because God is not looking at our extra parts. He's just looking at us, at our heart. So anyway, so that was one of the big things for me. And then my prophetic word, I just have to giggle sometimes at the Lord because he just knows us so well. And I wound up with three ladies that I had seen them at the last conference, but I don't really know much about them. So last year at the conference, I had a prophetic word, and Renee was one of the people who was saying this word to me, right? And so I was real skeptical about, well, she already knows me, so maybe she's just going by the things she already knows, right? Well, so this year I end up with three different ladies that don't know me from Adam. And they, like Janice and Pam say, they so read my email. Because the things that they said to me, normal people don't always know those things about me. So I have to say to you guys, you think that God doesn't know those innermost parts? He really does. He really, really does. And he uses different tools to work through. So, and to get to us, because that's where he wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. So if we just let those things happen and go with God, then how can bad things happen? And they'll come. Well, the bad things will come. But, you know, it doesn't matter if your eyes are on the Lord. So, anything else? I think that's it, because Christina wants to talk about a backpack. So. And some castanets.
No, I'm not going to talk about no castanets. Not this time. It'll come later, I'm sure. When I arrived at the conference, which we arrived Friday at around 1:30. I don't even know what time. We arrived. And I felt there was a lady up there talking to Ann Saturday morning. And she was carrying around a backpack. And I was like, Lord, what is she trying to say? And I was like, you know, that was me when I walked in. She was carrying a backpack full of all the junk that we carry. And I was like, Lord, what is she going to do? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to set it down. I don't need any of this. So I set it down, and I prayed about it. And I was like, Lord, you're just going to set me free from all this stuff I've carried around for so long. And he freed me from it. So it kind of confirmed it today when we were singing Set Me Free. I was just like, Lord, I don't have any of that. I left it in Columbia. It's going to stay there. I don't have to bring it home with me. All right, I'll talk about my cast nets. Sarah had to bring them for me. Yeah, preschool teacher. She, of course, has me all set up. I had three ladies that... I've just seen them around. I had no clue who they were. I don't even know where they're from. I mean, the Lord may have just sent them around and said, here, you go talk to these ladies. But they said my name, Christina, and it just rang a bell to them. And it sounded like a celebration. And I had castanets dancing and singing and roaring to his voice. So I just like, okay, so Sarah brought him today, and you better believe I was dancing away.
I hate getting up here. I'm willing, but I just need to pray first. God told me to get up here and pray, so I'm going to be obedient. He wants me to expose myself to you guys. Hey, it's uncomfortable. I'm reminded of. Her name is Niecy, the kind of thick girl of color on TV, and I think she's on Dancing with the Stars, and she said, you skinny girls, look out, because you got stuff that can't jiggle, so, yeah. I'm just going to celebrate what God gave me. Lord, I just want to be transparent before you, Lord, and lift myself up to you, Lord, for help in that area. I let myself grow very big, and shadow you in my life, Lord. And I don't want to shadow you in my life, Lord. I want to grow small so that only you can be seen, Lord. I just ask your repentance, Lord, for doing that in my life, that that's an idol, and I cast it down. And I want to be free from that, Lord. I want to be free to move in you, Jesus. And I know that you'll help me do it. I thank you for this body of people that love me no matter what, and just want to encourage me to do that, Lord. I love them. And I pray this prayer for another person in this body or other people in this body that have the same struggles, Lord. May we just lay ourselves down before you, Lord. That we would lift you high, Lord, in our lives. The banner that you are over our lives, Lord. And rise up in your strength, O Lord Jesus. Amen. I was kind of feeling a little beat up when I went to the conference. I don't know why, but he didn't do it. part of it was a discouragement because last year, I got so much out of last year, and then just in the last couple of months, I have really, really tried to draw close to the Lord, and it just seems like everything has gotten in the way of that, and it's been a striving and a fight, and the Lord is unlocking that, you know, and just asking me to praise him and open up that portal that Regina's talking about to heaven. It took away that expectancy that, you know, I was having. And anyway, there has been a lot of doubt in my life about things that go on in church. Not necessarily the flags, but when we do teachings on spiritual things and they sound strange to me, and it's like, just in my humanness, in my, you know, doubting, the enemy has come in and you know, used that as a tool to not let me advance and not let me grow in the ways I need to grow. And so, you know, they're talking about prophetic things. They're talking about angels, and I don't have a problem with angels. I know angels are very, very real. It's just the way that God moves in the spirit. And the Lord has been shifting my mind in the last couple of months and saying, you know, get your eyes off the world and look to the things of me. And the way he's teaching me and the way he's telling me to do that, it's like, let's see if I can give a good example. Some of the things that work in the natural, he's like, it works the same way in the spiritual. Just shift your mind over to the spiritual. Get your mind off of this other junk, you know. But it's a practical, we serve a practical God, and it's not some craziness. So I had a little bit of this doubt about the prophecy thing again, and I don't know why, because last year I was so encouraged by my prophecy, and they gave me Renee, and when I walked in the room, I kind of knew, you know, what's she doing here? And I waited for her to look at me, you know, and she said, oh, I think you need to go, you know, and I think she was trying not to let me feel rejected, and love your mother's heart, but I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. She wanted me to get the pure word of God, and so I went back out, you know, and they gave me these three, and I got a beautiful, beautiful prophecy from them that I know is straight from God to my heart, so it just encouraged me in that doubt, you know. Once again, I was, and I didn't have a very good attitude of going into that either, because Diane said, well, I'm leaving the hotel, I'm going over to the conference, and were you gonna go early for prophecy. And I was like, oh, you know, I hadn't even thought about it or let myself think about it. For you know, because of the enemy, because of maybe self-worth issues, you know, little things. But I just followed her like a lamb, and and they grabbed me, you know, and I just flowed with it, and it was a wonderful thing. And the Lord is using that to say, you know, to build up my faith and build up my in Him. The freedom in this church and the freedom in our conference was just wonderful. It's so good to be free. It is so good to be free. Who wants to be in jail? Who wants to be in captivity? You know, God made us to move, not to be all squished up in some cage. One of the things that blessed me so much was this main speaker was Anne, and she had this British voice, and she's taught English to French for 27 years. Her husband and her have lived right outside Paris. And she was telling us how God was telling her and singing over her that how much He loved her. And He was using secular songs, you know, to do this. And so we sang the Beatles song, Love, Love Me Do. and you know, it just really broke through to a lot of people and that freedom. But one of the things that she also did was she said, do you know what love looks like? When you're in love with someone, you know, and we kind of tend to forget that sometimes, but she said, I'm going to show a video clip of somebody that's in love. And she showed this old video clip of My Fair Lady. Where is it, Liza or Lizzie? Yeah, she sings this. Well, this person is trying to get her to go to bed, and she's like, "Oh, I can't go to bed. I'm just so, you know, floating on a cloud." And she starts singing this song, and all the women, they start getting up and worshiping, and kind of dancing to this. My Fair Lady, I could have danced all night. It was just such a blessing to hear the Lord in everything around us and to see God move in everything around us. But to break the chains, you know, to break out. I know I've had a lot of doubts because of being in church. I've had a lot of doubts of being in church because I look at a lot of the things that have gone on in church, and it makes you just want to run the other way. It makes you want to have no part of it because it's not been the right thing. And I just want to encourage all of us to break out of the mold. The kids, when I'm in children's church, every once in a while I say crap. Or this morning I said stupid. And one of the kids said, they always say, you know, and I said, that is a word that I use every day. Or I don't hide when I come to church, and I want to be real. And, you know, what word would God use in looking down on His churches and seeing all the mess that He has allowed to happen? And it might be somewhere along the line of stupid, you know, in some places, you know, and just getting down on the kids' level. I feel like I'm just kind of all over the place, but my heart is just to have a real church. to not have walls, to not have all these things we've created that are so ugly, that are so not God. You know, when the first time I came in this sanctuary, you know, and I met this body, and you guys were very refreshing to me. I just wanted to take all the chairs, though, and just move them out, you know, and not have the little straight rows and all that stuff. And so we did that this morning in Children's Church, and we're going to keep doing that in Children's Church. And we're going to experience God, how God wants us to experience Him.
Well, it was just an incredible weekend. I don't know what to say. We all got to sit and bask in the presence and the glory of our Heavenly Father. It was just awesome. From the second we walked into the door to the second we left. And then as we're traveling home, we got to be with Him too. So it was incredible. And my heart was to bring it back to you guys so you could feel the intenseness in the presence of our Father. What I was excited about, we got to see one of the songs that we sang this morning, the very first song that we sang this morning. Actually, the Lord put that song on my heart the whole way home. I called Crystal. I said, Crystal, I really need that song, because we were privileged to watch a group of young people dance that song for us at the conference, and it was incredible. It was awesome. And, but once again, we are in a war, guys. We are in a war, and He needs us to stand up. He needs all of us to fight. Whether it's Joshua's size, whether it's the little kid's size, whether it's Eva, whoever it is, we all need to fight this war. It's not just about God. It's about us co-laboring with our Heavenly Father. He needs us. He needs us so bad. And we make it hard. He doesn't make it hard. All He wants us to do is love Him. All He wants us to do is love Him and be in His presence, and that is it. He'll do the rest. All He needs are those willing vessels. He needs those hands, and He needs those feet. And that's what I saw this weekend, too. I saw people being servants. The church that we were at, those ladies were awesome. They were incredible. They truly laid down their lives for us to be there and to make things comfortable for us, and it was awesome. But what was exciting also to me is that we don't have to wonder when the Lord's coming back, and that's something that my heart has always wondered about. Is to me, is this weekend when they prayed or when they anointed Anne, anointed the young people that danced, and the Lord told us that that is the generation that will see the coming of our King. Praise God. And I am excited about our Lord coming back. I don't know about you guys, but I am very excited about Him coming back. And in the song, I can only imagine, I know what I'll be doing. I'll be on my face at His feet. But anyway, I just want to encourage you guys that, and that's something that they gave us too at this weekend, was our ministry is everywhere that we go. At the grocery store, at our work. You do an awesome job, but wherever you go, you're busy bringing people to the Lord left and right. But that's just it. You don't have to get a special appointment from God. God is with us every day, each and every way. If we give our hearts to Him and we are born again, that truly He lives in us. And the things that we battle are those spirits that come against us. And you know what? He is greater than anything that's in this world. And we can step out, talk to that neighbor, talk to that person, love on that person. Do what God asks us to do. Just step out.
Hey, I know I'm supposed to share it now, so I'm going to share it now. We were at this conference, and it was all about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and lions everywhere, and the seven mountains, and Anne got up, and she was such a sweet, and I really encourage anyone to read her book, but she talked about butterflies. Now, before I had gone, I had wanted to go buy some new clothes. You know how we women are. And I couldn't, I tried once and I couldn't find anything. B, really didn't have the money to be spending on that. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to wear? And I was serving, and you know, there's such blessing in serving. I got to be blessed and blessed. Women that if I had just come in, and sat down and been there, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So the Lord blessed me so greatly in serving. So we are all to be servants. So anyway, that's an aside. Anyway, I have this top. You guys have seen it. It's one of those little burnout rag tops that has little butterflies on it and flowers on it. And so I felt like I was supposed to bring that. I really didn't want to bring that, but I felt like I was supposed to bring that. So I obediently brought it, and I knew I was supposed to wear it on Saturday. You know, a little methodical me. And anyway, so she talks about butterflies. And she talks about butterflies and how the Lord spoke to her about butterflies. And what struck me was a couple of things. One is that it takes six generations of a butterfly, like the monarch, to make it from Canada all the way down to South America. Six generations where they fly, they lay eggs, they die, and butterfly is birthed, it flies, and it goes down. And I thought, wow, six generations. Wow, what generation am I? What generation am I? And I have a role to fulfill. I have eggs to lay. I have eggs to lay. And then she talked also about how the butterfly has to come out of the cocoon. And the process of that, and if we help the butterfly will die. And there's other animals in nature that God has created. They have to have that struggle. For the last 10 years, I've been in a cocoon. I've been struggling. I've held myself in a certain way for certain reasons that I thought that I was keeping myself from pain. And in the natural, in my physical body. And I became comfortable with it. And even my daughter, I say even, that's not an adjective I should have used. My daughter ministered to me because she made the point that I have accepted certain things. And she was saying she accepted, but I was saying that I had accepted certain things on my journey to healing. But when Ann spoke about that butterfly in that cocoon, I knew that was me. I'm in a cocoon, and I am. I am moving my arms. I'm moving those flings. I'm fun. And it is time that God wants me out of the cocoon, and he wants me to break free, and he wants me to be moving my wings and flapping and flying and going and laying those eggs. And I know that is for people here right now. I know it's even for women that came on this team. You have a testimony, and you need to share it, because whether you're still in that cocoon, just breaking it out, or you're getting out of the cocoon, you still got to flap, because there's a residue on those wings that has to dry. It has to dry so that they can be strong and they can fly. So just break out of the cocoon, ladies. Break out of the cocoon, men. And we're going to fly. So a whole bunch of other stuff that I know the Lord will show and say, but that was the thing that I do know. So just break out of the cocoon.
Mine kind of relates to the backpack. Annie used a backpack in her sermon, but it really started at the very beginning with my prophecy. You know, and you want them to tell you, you know, fun, loving pats on the back, and the first thing that came out of this woman's mouth was, I keep hearing the word brokenness, and I'm like, okay, and then the other woman talked about how, you know, God wanted to heal me. And then the last person specifically told me something. She said, I don't know what happened, but I know you were around this age when you were a little girl, and your whole life changed, and it totally changed how you saw the Father's love. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. And there was a part of me that is throughout the rest of the weekend until we got to Saturday morning was just kind of numb to it, because it's kind of like, okay, we've known that's there. We've gone around this mountain. You know, she told me, don't try to get rid of it on your own. And that God would deal with it. Well, part of Ann's talk on Saturday morning was about she was carrying the backpack. And, she told lots of wonderful stories of her experiences with visions of the Lion of Judah. And he was her friend, and he told her to take the backpack off because it was heavy. He's like, because she was so tired from carrying the backpack. And when she opened the backpack, she saw lots of things in there. And some of them are pretty, and some of them were ugly. And some of them she wanted to keep, but she just kind of sat that backpack there. And the Lion of Judah took all those rocks, all those heavy things, and he had this thing around his neck like a St. Bernard with the big barrel, and he put all that in there and carried him up to the mountain. And the angels had to help him up to the mountain and dump them off into the ravine. And while she's talking, her husband's out there putting rocks. And at this point, I'm kind of upset because I'm like, she's also told the story about the measure of faith in the Bible. She says, really, we're all given the same measure. But she had this diagram of a heart. And on the bottom of her heart, because of that backpack really represented, was the rocks in her heart. And it couldn't be filled up with that measure of faith. It would overflow and flow out because she had held on to those things that had hurt her or things that she had done that she hadn't forgiven herself for or just, you know, things. And I was really angry that those things were in my heart. I kind of told Mary some of my thoughts that were going through my head. She's like, do you have anger issues? I was like, well, I did at that moment. But she had us go through this exercise of, with the rocks, of getting rid of those things. So I just want to encourage, I want to even encourage the kids. You know, that started for me when I was a small child. And we cannot hold on to those things because, you know, you look at this person who's freer than you or walks in more ministry than you. Is it because we're holding on to things that get in the way of God filling that spot? So, you know, Kim, you really spoke to me this morning. I have plenty of opportunity to grumble around here. Toilet doesn't get flushed. You know, we can go on, but we're not gonna because we're not gonna go there anymore. And I just wanna thank you. But, you know, we have a choice. If somebody comes up here and says something that speaks to you, whether you're going to hold on to that rock or let it go.
All right, so I guess it's my turn to go. No, thank you. Thank you. Wow. This weekend, kind of set me on my butt about 100 times, and it was pretty awesome because he dealt with me. I don't really even know where to start, I guess. Is it okay if I just go through my day? It was a day and a half of a humongous roller coaster ride going up, and it was awesome. I guess to preframe it a little bit, this weekend was about a fight for me, and that's what this weekend was. It was a fight from the moment I got there, from before I got there, because I wasn't supposed to be able to go to this conference. I'd had to take off quite a few times this month and last month at my job, and my boss was getting quite annoyed at me, actually, very annoyed. And I was scared to ask him to have this weekend off of work because I didn't want him to get mad at me and throw a fit. And then the guy underneath him throws a fit at me all the time. And so I was just like, I don't even want to do this. I'll just skip this conference. I didn't go last year. It's not a big deal. But then I came to church, and Renee looked at me, and she asked me, like she does, that huge smile on her face, are you coming to the conference? And I was like, well, I'm not sure. I think I'm going to try. And she just lit up, and she was like, good. Because I think you need to come to this conference. You need to be here. And I was like, that just spoke to my heart. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to suck it up and I'm going to ask my boss. So I sucked it up. I had to deal with a lot of grumbling and whining and complaining. I had to fight for it, but I got it. And then one other preframing fact, this entire month, as you guys know, I have a lot of back and neck problems. And for the last month, it's been growing in my back. And I've been having nerve pain that's been shooting, and it's been accumulating and getting bigger and bigger like a snowball. And it was almost the moment we ride Friday or Thursday night, late Thursday night, and Friday morning came. We got there at 8:30 because I had to register. And it was almost the moment I walked into the doors that it became blinding. The pain in my shoulder, I had a nerve, and it was just going crazy. And I have a high pain tolerance. I've been through a lot. But that was like almost unlike anything I've ever experienced. I just wanted to curl up into a ball and cry. I couldn't think straight because it hurt so bad. And my mom spoke to me. She's asked me if I wanted to go to the prophetic ministry. That was the first part where God was like, bam, there you go. And I was like, at first I was just like, oh yeah, no joke. Woo, it goes everywhere now. I didn't want to because I wasn't comfortable with that. I was like, prophetic ministry, I'll step aside. How about not? And I went in there, and Noel signed up for it, and I was like, fine. So I put my name down, And I went in there. They call my name. I walk into the room, and bless her, Kim is in there. And she is one of my, one of the three women in there. And from the moment I walked in the door, I just wanted to start crying. Like, seriously, I was fighting tears the entire time. Just sitting there going, I'm not going to cry. And they just started speaking. And I'm not going to tell you guys everything they said, because that would take forever. And for you guys to understand. But every word that they spoke touched on an insecurity in my heart that I've been dealing with the Lord. Every word they spoke was so true and so pure to my heart, and God was just standing there, and I could see him through everything they said, and he was going, I love you. I'm right there. Your prayers are answered. I've heard you. I am here. And so I walked out of that room. I started crying. I cried even harder afterwards, right? And I was just like, wow, that was worth the trip down here. I'm ready to go home. I was like, I'm done. That was all I needed. You know, God spoke so clearly to my heart through that. But of course, God was like, you're not going anywhere. So my shoulder is still screaming. And I went to my mom, and I started crying. I have not cried in a long time from pain. And she was praying, and this other woman was praying. And they just kept saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God. And I heard it, but I didn't really hear it. And that became a pivotal part of the rest of my night. But Anne started speaking. We went to her service, and my shoulder is killing me through this entire thing. And they started worshiping. And I sat here, and I got angry. Like, I got mad. I was like, what in the world is going on with this? I'm here to praise God. I'm here to worship God. And here my shoulder is. Like, I was so blinded by pain, I couldn't think. I couldn't worship. And I was just like, forget it. I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to do it. So I stood up, and I just fought through that pain. I just raised my arms, even though it was killing me. And then you know what happened? There was no pain. None. While I was focusing on God, there was no pain. And God spoke to me clear as day. He's like, with me, there is no pain. When your heart and your eyes are set on me, there is no pain. Because the moment I quit focusing on God, when I was like, oh gosh, what's wrong with my shoulder? And then it started again. But then I was like, no, I'm going to fight for God. I'm going to fight to focus and worship God. And the pain was gone. And so that was like one of the first things, second thing that he was like, there you go, Anna. So I was like, all right, cool. So we go out to lunch, and we come back, and Renee's session was getting ready to start, and I really wanted to sit in and listen to Renee's session. So I sit down in the chairs. I last like 15 minutes. I was sitting there going, I really want to listen to this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. But I couldn't sit, and I couldn't stand, because it was now shooting down my arm. It was shooting up my neck, down my neck, down my leg. I could not stand it anymore. So I got up, and I left, and I was really angry. And I got up, I left, I went out to Noel's car, and I laid down for about 45 minutes. And I come back in, and my mom and Kim, and I think Pam heard this too, that this woman, Madge, that Sarah was talking about, needed to pray for me. And they were trying to decide whether she needed to pray for me before or after her session. And they decided on later, after her session. So I was like, no, I'm going to face this. I'm going to focus on this session. I'm going to sit through it. I'm going to make it for an hour and 15 minutes. I can do this. So I sat down, and it hurt like no other. But I sat there, and I made it through Madge's session. And Madge's session spoke to me in my heart, and I learned so much from that in and of itself. But then, like I said, fighting was the key of this whole entire seminar, right? And after her session gets over, my mom looks at me, and she goes, all right. She didn't tell me to go up to Madge and have her pray for me. She didn't say, let's go have Madge pray. She looks at me and goes, do you want Madge to pray for you? She asked me a question. She did not tell me. And that spoke to me. She was not trying to force me. God was not trying to force me. And one thing about with my back and my neck, it happened, I was born with a lot of the problems, but a lot of them came from the activities that I've done. And I've never, not once, rebuked it. Not once. I've never fought the pain that I've had. I've never fought the issues I have. Because I was like, life sucks. Bad things happen to good people. Move on. Fight, you know, you live your life. You don't whine about what happens to you. And so I've never fought it, and I've never rebuked it. And so for me to stand up and go get prayer for that, it was like really hard for me. And my mom's like, do you want prayer? And I was like, no. I was like, but God was like, come on, go now. I'm going to kick you if you don't move. And so I was like, all right, fine. And Noel laughed at me later on because I was like literally shuffling my feet like this, and I did not want to walk forward. And I get up there, and Madge and this other woman, Mary, were there. And my mom is there, and Kim came up, and she was praying for me. Kim was my warrior this weekend. It was crazy. I love you. And I was there, and Madge asked me if she could pray for me. Yet again, she asked me, having me, I had to say it. And I was like, yes. And then Mary asked if she can anoint me, and I said, yes, you can.